Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning, football fans. I'm not going to gloat, even though I'm a New Englander and we won the Super Bowl, but I'm not going to gloat because it was crazy. You know what? I got to say, it was probably one of the most boring football games I've watched until the fourth quarter. I was literally in the third quarter looking for something else to watch. I just couldn't take it. And it wasn't even, you know, like, it doesn't put any money in my pocket. Like, I don't truly care who wins. I love underdogs. I love a good game. I love to see people who work really hard win. But I really didn't care either way. Not that I'm sad that the New England Patriots won, because I am a New Englander. But wow, if you missed it, if you missed it, it's because you couldn't care less about football. If you weren't watching the Super Bowl, then this doesn't really matter to you at all, because you probably don't like football. But that is just incredible. And you know, I totally lost faith. I did not think they could come back. I did not think they could do it. Just shows you perseverance, never give up. There's definitely a St. Paul message in there. There's a Pauline message in there somewhere, to persevere, to run the good race, to never give up, even when all hope seems lost, to really, you know, push yourself through. Here's a funny thing. I'm not superstitious at all. It does not coincide with my faith, so I am not. But this is kind of funny. So I got kind of like, just couldn't watch it anymore. I'm like, I give up. This is ridiculous. My husband went to bed. He wasn't feeling well anyway. He's been fighting a cold. Please keep Kevin in your prayers. Poor dude. He has been fighting this cold now for over 3 weeks. Of course, he won't go to the doctor, but that's another story. So he goes to bed. I can't stand watching anymore. And I couldn't find anything else on, because everything's in reruns. Nothing's going to come up opposite of the Super Bowl. And then I thought, that's just stupid. It's the Super Bowl. It's just, at least watch for the commercials, which, by the way, stunk even worse than the first three quarters of the game. What was wrong with the Super Bowl commercials? That used to be my favorite part. Alex and I were talking before the show aired. He's like, he didn't know what they were advertising most of the time. And I totally agree. Or you think it's going to be something really important, and it was another car commercial. Like, for real? Honestly, pathetic. Just, you know, it just wasn't working for me. Anyway, so I was like, I'm not going to watch the commercials, and I'm just going to listen to the game. And I run Bible study Monday nights at my church. We're doing 2 Corinthians, and I had to read 7 through 9 and make my notes and really pray about what it was about, what we're going to talk about tonight. In fact, if you're invited, Holy Family Church, East Taunton, Middleborough Avenue, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. every Monday night. We'd love to have you. If you're local and you can get by, we'd love, love, love to have you. So I was just, I'm just going to read scripture. So I start to read the scriptures, and then the Patriots start to have the turnaround. Yeah, I'm not saying I had anything to do with it. But I really can say that reading the scriptures instead of paying attention to the game helped me tremendously get through the game, as they were just making me so nervous. I can't even believe that they pulled it off. Anyway, congratulations to the New England Patriots and Tom Brady and his team. Just prayers for his mother, who is clearly very ill. They're not revealing what it is, though you could only, you know, attain from watching, from looking at her with the scarf over her head. It's probably something that requires chemo, most likely cancer. So a pray to the Saint Peregrine for her. That's the patron of cancer patients. And we just pray for her healing. And what a beautiful moment for him to share with his family. We all have, I'm sure, beautiful moments. They're not just on the stage as big as his, but you know, if you ever need prayers, speaking of prayers, not just going to pray for the rich and the famous, I also want to pray for you, Allison@breadboxmedia.com or info@reconciledtoyou. Go reconciledtoyou.com is probably the easiest way to get me. There's my blog there. There's the radio show blog and giveaways, upcoming information. And there's a prayer request page. I'm going to be doing some work on my website. This is starting to look a little drab, and I'm a little confused by it because at some point, like my desk, my website gets a little cluttered. So I'm going to be kind of cleaning it up. But it's not hard to find need prayer tab at the top. Always happy to pray for you. I pray every morning, and I include you, include the friends of the show, those people who have been very generous to send a monthly donation to support me, not Breadbox Media, but me specifically, and a Seeking Heart, which is, I'm just so grateful to you. Thank you again, my friends of the show. Please know you are always in my prayer. I remember you when I do my rosary. I remember you often, and I couldn't be here without you. So thank you, friends of the show. If you want to become a friend of the show, visit breadboxmedia.com for just $10. More or $10 or more a month. You can become a premium member, which includes a little prayer squirrel or a rosary bracelet, extra entries in all of my giveaways, and there's a mega one coming. I know I keep saying that. I'm gonna make a note right now to actually get that on there. I have books everywhere, and I'm just eager to give them away. So we're going to go on and do a mega giveaway. And what else do you get? Oh, friend of the show, monthly Google Hangout, though I have been a horrible human being and we haven't had one, but we will this month. Going to put it on the calendar, marking that down right now too. It's actually on the calendar. We're just going to make it happen. So undying devotion and prayers for me, a little squirrel, you can't go wrong. And again, my gratitude forever and ever and ever. Friend of the show, breadboxmedia.com for that. So we had the Super Bowl. What else happened this weekend? Oh, we're going to talk, what's today's show about? When we come back, we're going to talk about Meeting God in the Upper Room, Three Moments to Change Your Life. This is a new book out from Servant Books, Franciscan Media. And it was sent to me to review and to look over, and it included my favorites, prayer, sacrament, and scripture. This just keeps coming up again and again and again. Such a simple, simple equation for faith, prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And this book includes all three, and these three moments from the upper room. We have the who's it by Monsignor Peter, and I wrote down how to say it, Vaghi. There you go, V-A-G-H-I, Vaghi. Oh, I also wanted to share with you, because we just have a few moments before we go on to break, so I'm not going to jump into Meeting God in the Upper Room. We'll do that for the, because there's three meetings, there's three moments, we'll have three segments, we'll dive into that. I want to just talk real quick about my Weight Watchers Getting Healthy kind of update, kind of having a plateau, maybe even a little climb. You know what? See if I can explain this, because I can't be the only one who feels this way. There's like a switch in my head. There's like a motivational switch. And when that switch flips, and you can, it's almost tangible. You can feel the switch, the switch twitch. No, you feel like I can do it. There's like a motivation. Sacrificing isn't so hard for the food. Tracking, this is what I'm the worst at, is the real key to anything, money and weight and getting control of these, budgeting, all of this stuff is all about tracking, because you can so easily lie to yourself. I could have a glass of wine, and it's the same glass, and I'm refilling it from the box. Yes, I said the box in the refrigerator. And I can think I've had, maybe eight ounces, 12, but suddenly it's like 16 or 20, because I've had, two or three refills. So last night watching the Super Bowl, I didn't have any wine. I'd had some for lunch, and I was like, yeah, that's enough. But there's like this switch, and right now that switch is on off. It's on off. I'm not really sure at what point it turned itself off because I was doing pretty good. I had 6 weeks to go before the Women in the New Evangelization, the Wine Conference in Minnesota, February 25th. I'm so excited to be going out. So excited to do some work with wine, leading their Lenten book club. Really honored that Kelly, I was very bold and I asked Kelly to come out and she's sponsoring me to get me out to the conference. So excited about all that. And I thought, okay, I have 6 weeks to the conference. I have 6 pounds, so 1 pound a week. I can handle that. Now I have 3 weeks to the conference and I still have 6 pounds. I mean, I've lost 20 and I know that should be encouraging, but so quickly it feels like it come right back. So just kind of struggling right now with that motivation, trying to stay on track. And I think this week I'm going to really bring it to prayer. I think that's probably what keeps disappearing from my plan is that prayer part, you know, giving it to God. Like he gave me this body. He gave me this will. He gave me all of these tendencies. Like I am who he created me to be. And with his grace, I know I could be the best I'm supposed to be. I'm not going to fall into those temptations. I'm not going to be weak. So I'm going to be praying this week for just a renewed and strengthened ability to stay on track, to make healthier choices. I know that sometimes like our groceries run low. I hate the grocery store, just despise it. And so to get fresh fruit and things like that, you kind of have to visit the grocery store more often than once every other week. Yes, I said once every other week. I use Peapod, makes my life so much easier. But doesn't make it easy when you run out and it's not coming tomorrow. We actually went Saturday. That was really stupid to live in New England, to go to the grocery store on a Saturday afternoon, the day before the Super Bowl, when your team's in it. Yeah, we pulled in the parking lot and we pulled out of the parking lot, the packing lot. There's no way that I was going to shop. Anyway, when we come back, we are going to look at Meeting God in the Upper Room, Three Moments to Change Your Life, the new book by Monsignor Peter Boggy. I'm going to get that one before we come back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today about a new book out from Monsignor Peter Vaghi. I'm going to get it. Hopefully, eventually. V-A-G-H-I. I think everybody should be named Smith and Perry and White. And then my life would be so much easier. so much easier. I mean, look, really, if the Bible can get away with using Mary for everybody, and why can't I just call everybody Smith? This book out from Franciscan Media is the subtitle is Three Moments to Change Your Life. And they all take place in the upper room. The cynical? No. Yeah, I think that's how you say that. Oh, big words. I hate big words. So it's located, of course, in the old city of Jerusalem on Mount Zion. It is perhaps the best known, as the book tells us, best known as the traditional site of the Last Supper since the 4th century AD. That's where the current structure of the room dates approximately to the 14th century, which accounts for the existing Gothic era columns. According to tradition, the book continues, this is where the apostles stayed when they were in Jerusalem. It was where the Last Supper took place. Okay, so just for a second, very, very funny social media meme. There's Judas talking to Jesus, and he says to him, "Hey, Jesus, are you coming to the Last Supper tonight?" And Jesus looks at him, "The what kind of supper?" "Oh, no. Judas replies, "No, like just, you know, dinner with the guys." I'm sorry. It's probably funnier when it's a visual. But that whole idea, that just cracks me up. Anyway, again, not much. Doesn't take much to crack Allison up. The Cenacle is where Jesus washed the disciples' feet, where this, which symbolized the ministry of loving service. We're going to talk about that today. It is the place where the disciples gathered in fear after the death of Jesus and prayed, and where and with Mary for the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's also the place, the room where Jesus appears, both after and before and after the resurrection. So he comes, he appears there and he eats with them, and then he comes back again after the, you know, the ascension into heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. So three pretty important things happen in this room. It's three moments to change your life. And Monsignor Vaghi doesn't just look at it like, you know, how it existed back then and what it meant for Jesus and his followers, his apostles, the disciples, but what it means to us, like where to prepare our upper room, where are to find time to go to our upper room here in this day and age and encounter Christ in the way that the apostles did in their day. Like I said earlier, this prayer, sacrament, and scripture thing just keeps again and again and again happening. It's the, you know, the other last Friday, I was in a really, really yucky mood and just really struggling and no real reason, you know, praise God, nothing really bad's happening. Just, you know, every ordinary, every day, like just some days we're grumpy and some days the world just seems a little heavier, getting a little tired of just the negativity and their overall just feel in the world right now. It's unnerving. It's stinky. I don't like it. I don't like controversy. I want things to, why can't we all just get along? I just want happiness and light, and I want Jesus to come right now and take us all home. That's all. I'm not asking much. And so I went to adoration, and I realized as I was sitting there really struggling, I went and got the Bible. So I'm sitting in adoration, which is a sacrament, because I'm sitting with the Blessed Sacrament, sitting with Jesus in the Eucharist. Wherever the Eucharist is present, Jesus is present. And even though I'm not receiving the Eucharist, it's still a sacrament. It's still sacrament. It's still grace. It's still a grace-giving moment. It's still considered part of that sacrament of the Eucharist. So here I am with Jesus in adoration. Such an incredible experience. If you haven't yet tried adoration, if you want to know more about it, send me a message, info@reconciledto.com or Allison at Breadbox. Try that again. Allison at a seeking heart. No, it's breadboxmedia.com. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's Monday. It feels like a Monday. And I can't say I was up late watching the game because that was the quickest Super Bowl in history. I swear it was like over before I knew it. It was like, what, 10:30? Anyway. So if you need anything, I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, if you want to know more about adoration, give me a call. You can give me a call too. 4573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4. So what were we talking about? Yes, we were talking about prayer, sacrament, scripture. So I was sitting in adoration and I'm kind of struggling and I get out my Bible. So here I am in the sacrament with Jesus and the Eucharist, and I'm praying for guidance and I'm reading God's word. And in the hour that I was there, and it doesn't take an hour, by the way, if you only have 5 minutes, the Lord can use that. In that time I was there reading his word, I had such a great sense of peace. I felt God speak to me. I felt drawn, you know, closer to him, a deeper understanding, kind of lifted a little bit in that mood. I kind of stayed in it off and on for the whole week. And Saturday, I was a total grumple stillskin. Yes, I said grumple stillskin. I like to make up words. You know that by now. I was total grumple stillskin. Like everything was on my nerves. I went to Weight Watchers and I'd lost only 0.2 pounds. I guess that's better than being up 0.2 pounds. But the meeting was annoying me. It's everything. It was just have those days just my skin was annoying me. Air was annoying me. It was cold and was hurting my face. Like everything was annoying me. Maybe I'm still sad because my dog left. Well, it wasn't my dog. We were dog sitting. Little Bichon Poo for a week. totally in love with this dog. I want one. Husband saying no. I don't even know where there's a I almost said a dealer. I don't know where there's dealing Bichon poos. I guess the breeder would be the name, not a dealer. But this idea of coming together, this foundation of faith that is created in prayer, sacrament, and scripture, and how God uses those great gifts, those grace-giving gifts, I call it the grace trifecta, to grow our faith, to grow us closer to Him, to bring us peace and joy and all of those wonderful gifts that He promises to us. And this book was no exception. I was pretty excited when I started to read it, and I thought, oh, here, I'm going to encounter Christ in prayer, sacrament, and scripture. He's going to talk about the Eucharist, because this, in this upper room, in the Last Supper, is when the Eucharist was instituted. It was during that supper where He gave us the Eucharist and taught us. He taught us back, John teaches us in chapter 6 of John's Gospel, the Bread of Life discourse, kind of get this idea that that Jesus is going to leave us this great gift, His blood and His body and His blood, which seems just so hard to understand. That's why in John 6, so many people walk away, but He doesn't run after them and say, hey, no, guys, it's just a symbol. Wait, let me explain. He lets them go. And then He turns to those who stay, and He says, this is a tough teaching. This is a tough thing to understand. Are you going to go too? And St. Peter says, where should we go, Lord? Only you have the words of eternal life. Only you have those words of salvation for us. And He says in those words that we need to eat His body and drink His blood. But He doesn't, He says it's true. His flesh is true food and His blood is true drink. And in it, we're giving, he gives them to us in this way that we can digest Him, that we can consume Him, but we're not cannibals, where it's bread and wine. But yet He does something so mystical beyond our understanding, which is what I love so much about the Catholic faith. It's mystical. There's mystery. You don't understand everything. If there's a God that I can understand, then I don't want Him to be my God. I don't want to figure God out. I want Him bigger than me. I want Him to be mystery to me, to reveal just enough for me to fall in love. But I don't need to know everything. If I can figure Him out, then I don't want Him, because then He's not the true God. Then He's not the God that He is meant to be. If I am making Him something that I can control or understand. And if you haven't been to Reconciled to You on Facebook in a while, go there today, because there's a really cool video on Facebook, Reconciled to You on Facebook. There's a really cool video of an atheist that is interviewing Bishop Barron. And what an amazing interview. And and all the comments that have come afterwards from all of these atheists, just saying, I'm an atheist, but yet, I could listen to this guy all day, and just opening up hearts. And just, if you're struggling, quite honestly, if you're struggling to have a conversation with people about God and your faith, go listen to this. I'll try to put it over on A Seeking Heart on Facebook as well. Of course, you can always send me a message, Allison@breadboxmedia.com or info@reconciledtoyou.com. If I mention anything on air and it doesn't make it into the show notes, or as usual, I'm behind on the show notes, that's my dream, to get ahead on those. I was trying to make videos for a while there, but, one woman show, I know that what God needs you to hear, you will hear. But any questions ever, if you need prayer, if I've forgotten to link something, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. So this book that we're going to be journeying with, or we are journeying with, because I'm kind of already telling you a lot about what's in it, Meeting God in the Upper Room, the back cover tells us, come and see the holiest room in Christendom. Oh, they sound right in my head. Drawing deeply from his pastoral experience and theological training, Monsignor Peter Vaghi takes us to the upper room in Jerusalem. Hey, we've gone to commercial and I missed the cue. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media, and I'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Sorry about that. I was supposed to be getting time cues and Skype decided it wasn't going to share them with me. So I was in the middle of saying that this book, Monsignor Vaghi, takes us to the upper room in Jerusalem and describes three historically and spiritually significant events that transpired in the sacred place, In doing so, Monsignor inspires us to look for Jesus in the upper room of our own hearts, following the Lord in prayer, worship, and service. As a pilgrim resource, Lenten meditation, or simply spiritual enrichment, meeting God in the upper room, again by Franciscan Media, will give you a deeper appreciation of the three events that transpired in the upper room, the Last Supper, most resurrection appearances, and Pentecost, that profoundly shaped the early life of the church. It is a very good Lenten read. Of course, I'm going to encourage you to look at Walk in Her Sandals for your Lenten read. This is from Women in the New Evangelization, Wine. Yours truly is facilitating the online Lenten mission with them. Every day we will be giving you new content, quotes from the book and videos and resources and just really traveling along with you. Can't wait for this. But the big thing that we really want to share and encourage you to do is to start your own small group. To do this, to do Walk in Her Sandals with your own small group in real life, either in your home or in your parish. Kelly Walquist was here not too long ago, along with Stephanie Lansom and Sarah Christmeyer, who are all three of the, I think, 10 contributing authors to this very unique book that's part scripture study, part historical fiction, group discussion questions. There's Lectio Divina in there. There's just a mishmash of awesomeness. Walk in Her Sandals. And we're talking about it now because Lent, believe it or not, is only a month away. So if you need to get a space, if you need to order books, which the bundle is available now on Women in the New Evangelization, you can also go and to Wine on Facebook or Reconcile to You Facebook. I have everything linked there as well. The bundle is $20, includes a book, a cute bookmark, and the journal out from Sarah Christmeyer, which my friends and I tested last Wednesday, and it is fantastic. Such a great companion to this study. We're hoping that the online will be a perfect pairing, because of all that wine analogy stuff, to your Lenten mission, your Lenten, journey. This is the time. There's like extra grace during this Lent period. And like, this is the time where that motivational switch I was talking about for my weight, that one for getting closer to Christ, that one kind of clicks on for Lent. And we're very excited to journey along with you and to support you and doing your own in real life small group. And I've been doing it for 10 years. Small group is how my faith came to life. It's transformed my life. It's how I converted or reverted it, as the case may be. And I have just such a passion for it, and I want to support you and help you. And I really can't recommend Walk in Her Sandals enough. But if you're somebody who, well, maybe you're not a woman, though we have determined that if you read the book and you're not a woman, you will not start lactating. Just an FYI. Is that TMI? That might be going too far, but it's kind of what we thought. You can read it. It's Jesus's story. It's for everyone. The reflections are, they're from women to women, but I don't think a man would be lost or feel left out or whatever. Like, I think it's good for men to know how women think and how we journey along to Christ. But if you're looking to start a group aside from Walk in Her Sandals, Meeting God in the Upper Room, it's a very good Lenten book. I'm a very big fan of Monsignor Vagis, even though I can't say his name. I'm a very big fan. I have really loved some of his other books, which included Encountering Jesus in Word and Sacraments and the Works of Charity. He has quite a few books on prayer, sacrament, and scripture. It's probably why I'm so drawn to Monsignor. When they sent me this book, I knew I wanted to share it with you here. And we're looking at probably not going to get too much further today than the Last Supper, but again, the three moments that can change your life that Monsignor talks about are the Last Supper, the post-resurrection appearance of the risen Lord, again, in that upper room, and then Pentecost, which of course happens after he ascends into heaven. We experience the life of the church. The events of the upper room reveal a great deal, Monsignor says, about the way we experience the life of the church. We experience that life in sacramental grace. I'm always talking about the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist and in reconciliation, these things that we can dip into again and again, though our baptismal grace isn't a one-time thing. Our sacramental marriage grace isn't a one-time thing. This is something we can call upon again and again, and we can just ask the Lord to pour that grace into our hearts. You know, sometimes in Mass, what's his name? Saint John Posco writes about these little devils that come onto our shoulders, these little distractions. And I really sometimes feel like when I'm in Mass that there is something trying very hard to get me to be distracted, to get me to judge, to get me to be grumpier than normal. In the last few times in Mass before it started, I just knelt down, kind of put up my hands on either side of my eyes to kind of create this blinder effect so people can't interrupt me or bother me, and I can just try to have that moment with Christ and just begging for him to pour grace into my heart. You know, there's always going to be somebody at church that drives you insane for one reason or the other. You know, perhaps the way that they conduct themselves there, or maybe they sing too loud. I don't know. Maybe there's always going to be someone everywhere that drives you crazy at work, in your family, driving on the roads, especially if you live in Massachusetts. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. We're called bad drivers for a reason. Anyway, so that grace that you can ask God to pour into your heart, you know, based on your baptism, because you are his child, it really has this magical, I'm going to use that word. I'm going to go there. I'm going to say it has like this magical effect on you. It can lift that bad mood. It can lift the bad habit. It can help you whatever it is that you're struggling with. And, you know, sacramental grace is huge, and we're so blessed to have it. And when we're sitting in adoration, when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, when we go to reconciliation, all of these wonderful gifts that the Lord gives us that are scriptural, that they are right there in the scriptures that he tells us about, that they're not just, you know, these things made up by the church, but that they come from Christ and they're meant to give us grace, strength to overcome, strength to grow closer to him. This is good stuff. Good stuff. What else do we get as we read this book? In service, we see the washing of the feet on Holy Thursday. We can talk about that. In prayer, we see Jesus' high priestly prayer during that Last Supper. If you haven't read it yet, John 17, 20 through 21, really powerful prayer. We see it in the profession of the Easter faith. If you've, it says, as the darkness of Good Friday gives way to the jubilant Easter, Hallelujah of Easter, we profess our faith with all the joy, Monsignor writes. St. Thomas is seeing the risen Lord when he says, my Lord and my God. See that on John 20. And then in the outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit, in the sacraments, particularly at baptism and again at confirmation, the scent of chrism fills our senses with inexplicable joy, just as the followers of Jesus were overwhelmed by the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And of course, we also have the presence of Mary in all of this. She is there with them and in apostolic zeal. For the Lord has commanded us, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth. That's in Acts 13. It is in the scriptures that we are commanded to go. The salvation that God has for us, the message he has, the joy that he puts in his heart as you grow closer is not for you to keep. It's for you to share, which, you know, really brings me to why having a small group is so important. Here's my story. I was invited by a friend into small group many years ago, fell in love with Christ. Then that group kind of fell apart, and for a couple of years I wasn't in any group, and I could feel myself drawing further away from God. The accountability wasn't there anymore. I would, you know, make excuses not to read spiritual reading or read my scriptures. I didn't feel in community. I didn't feel supported, and I was falling back away. And I felt that the Lord was calling me to start a group in my own home. So I invited women, and I figured I was going to do just one group over the summer, and we would be done. Well, during that summer, I went to World Youth Day 2013 Rio de Janeiro. In the last mass, Cardinal O'Malley said, if you really want to know, if you really want to change the world, then embrace hospitality. And I realized that was, you know, 2x4 across the head, the hospitality of stepping out of my comfort zone, not worrying about whether the house was company clean or family clean, inviting people in, making them feel welcome, stepping out in faith and saying, honestly, I want you to know Christ the way I know Christ, and let's come together and read this book and share our faith. You have snacks. Snacks will keep them coming back, and just support each other in this great mission. And you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed of what the Lord will do with that. Yes. We come back. We have just a little bit more of meeting God in the upper room. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Redbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. We are looking at Meeting God in the Upper Room, the new book by Monsignor Peter Vage, and it is also from Franciscan Media, and the, what do you call it, subtitle is called Three Moments to Change Your Life. And I know I didn't get too far. I get so excited about the book, and it just makes me think about so many other things that I don't ever want to become a review show. One of the reasons I switched the format this year is, to be honest with you, is I started to feel more like a marketer than a minister. Not that I'm a minister, but somebody who's there to kind of encourage you in the faith and to journey alongside with you. But I started to feel like having a book a week and, you know, trying to cover the whole book, I started to feel very much like a marketer, and I don't ever want to cheapen what the Lord has asked me to do, or cheapen our relationship, really, by maybe you feeling like I'm always trying to throw a book down your throat. So if I'm talking about books, and I never ever talked about a book I didn't completely love, I am a voracious reader to begin with. I'm constantly reading. So it's not really out of the question for me to be reading a book a week. But I wanted to kind of like scale it back a little bit and spend more time kind of doing a journey. Like, let's talk about faith in the everyday ordinary life, because isn't that when you need to know it? Isn't that how you need to know it? Like, all right, that's great that there's, you know, this teaching and that teaching, but what does it look like in my everyday life? So I hope that that's what we've been seeing this year, as we've been through only 1 month. We have a lot more interviews this year, which is kind of ironic, because I kind of stepped back and said, I'm not going to do a Friday interview every week as the formula was for the last 2 years, but I now find I have an interview for each of the coming weeks. But you know what? This time I'm inviting on bloggers. I really find that bloggers, they get it. You know, they're trying to live the faithful life and the everyday, and they're sharing that on the internet. They're sharing it through their blogs, and many of them, you never hear their voices and you never get a chance to really connect with them. And I had them on like the first year I had them on, and then I kind of got away from it, and you know, just praying this year about what the Lord was asking about to bring here to a seeking heart, and just really they were on my heart, really connecting with a lot more of them through Facebook, and really excited to have at least one a week here for the next coming weeks, sometimes two. This Friday, this week, Christina Trinidad will be back. And if you remember her, she was a monthly guest for a year and a half, probably a year and a half. And then she had the audacity to go back to school. Can't wait to hear all about that adventure. And she's going to start joining us again, because now that the schedule is more flexible, Christina will be back, and she'll be here this Friday, February 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern. And I think you're really going to enjoy speaking with her. Monica McConkie, I'm sure I'm mutilating, because we need to talk and I need to figure out how you say it. She's supposed to be here on Wednesday, so I need to just kind of, what's that word? Verify with her? That's the word. Yep. Words. They're so tricky. So hopefully we'll have her here as well. Just introduced Mary Lindeberg was here last week. I hope you heard it. If not, go to breadboxmedia.com. Nope. Go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. And you can hear that interview. She's her daughter, Courtney, is a little, the young woman, 24 years old, that passed away 2 years ago now. She was here talking about that right after it happened, and just inspiring. Now she's stepping out in faith and becoming, going into full-time ministry. So if you haven't caught Mary Linehan, that's not her name. Lindeberg, that's her name. Interview breadboxmedia.podbean.com. Click on A Seeking Heart. So let's just spend a little time here, what we have left for today's show, with the Upper Room and the Last Supper. And Monsignor writes, the first major event of the Upper Room was the Last Supper. How important it is to spend some time pondering the preparation for the meal and the significance of the meal. It was Jesus's final meal with the 12 apostles on the night before he died. There was a familiar intimacy there, as these apostles had traveled together with Jesus for 3 years, and they knew each other so well. And there's also this great promise we see in John's gospel. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming for you. And, you know, sometimes I think when we're going through a really difficult time, we might feel like God's abandoning us. You know, like, is Jesus listening? Is he there? But to know that there's this promise through scripture, because there's no lies. Like, the God can't lie to you. If he says, I will never abandon you, that you can trust. He's never going to abandon you. Then we get into chapter one. Yeah, I haven't even gotten. That was just the intro. When we get into chapter one, Monsignor talks about the details of the preparation. In all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we read that Jesus anticipated the Passover meal as he arrived in Jerusalem. He understood the need to be prepared, to prepare for it. The careful and varying details in each of the accounts give weights to the importance of what was to happen there. Jesus gave the disciples specific instructions on how they were to prepare. The smallest details take on eternal significance. And so to spend time, he says even prophetic significance, to spend time reading that. And like, we have this great gift of hindsight. Like, we know what happens. And to go back and to look those over. I just downloaded a new book onto my Kindle. It's written by, he was a former atheist, he became an evangelical, and he's an FBI cold case, I think it's because it's called Cold Case something or other. I'll have the link up for you. And he basically takes the gospel accounts and using his expertise in witness a witness accounts for, you know, the truth and authenticity and, you know, trying to solve a case. He takes these, he cross-checks them, and he really recognized that the gospel accounts and the way they interchange and interact with each other, they're absolutely historical truth, that these are true accounts of Jesus, because Jesus was a historical figure. You know, whether you believe or not, he existed, and we have historical proof that he existed. And here we have this great book. I can't wait to read it and share it with you, where he takes these accounts and makes that case, you know, solves the cold case of Christ. That's pretty cool. Case for Christ, by the way, by Lee Strobel, is another really great book. If you have somebody who's really struggling to embrace it in a spiritual level, you know, he again was a reporter from a journalistic aspect, set out to debunk the Jesus thing and ended up making a case for Christ. Monsignor Vaghi continues, "The words eagerly desired are unique to the gospel accounts of St. Luke. Here we get a taste of God's longing for relationship with his followers. The two words, eagerly desired, so easy to miss in the quick reading, are just a spark in the flame of Jesus' love for his disciples, of which, by the way, you are. Knowing all that was to come, knowing even that one of the men in the very room would betray him, Jesus still eagerly desired to share a meal with them." It's kind of amazing. "The Lord who knocks at the door of..." Oh, here, this is really cool. So in the book of Revelation, we have a powerful image of the Lord who stands at, who knocks on the door of our hearts. You know, the show A Seeking Heart is named very purposely, went to adoration, prayed for the Lord to teach me, to guide me into a name. And I realized that it's easy to seek God with my heart, my head, but that isn't how I'm going to encounter him. That's not how I'm going to grow in relationship and, you know, stick by his side. Like, I needed to seek him with my heart. I needed to fall in love with him. And here, Monsignor Vaghi is talking about how in the book of Revelation, we have this powerful image of the Lord who knocks on the door of our hearts and waits to be welcomed in. This is a really famous picture of Jesus knocking on the door, and there's no handle on his side. The only handle to the door is on the inside. He waits to be welcomed inside. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Revelation says. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter his home and dine with him, and he with me." So we need to prepare our hearts, and we do that during the Holy Week in so many different ways. We prepare during Lent in a very significant way. And again, I'm going to encourage you to go over to Women in the New Evangelization. Click on the book club, on the Lenten book club. On the very front page, you can see a graphic. You just click on that, and it gives you all the information. Now is the time to be preparing. Speaking of preparing, now is the time to be preparing for your Lenten mission, for your Lenten book club. The Lord completely changed my heart and my life by going into small group. And then when I opened up my heart and my home, I know that the Lord has used that to transform other people's lives. Is it time for you to step out in faith and help transform lives? I really do think it is. And then you can join us also through the virtual online book club during Lent, Between the Wines. We're going to do Walk in Her Sandals. That's out from Ave Maria Press. But I want to encourage you to purchase it off of the Wine website. Get the bundle where you get, the only place you can get the journal is through Wine and the bookmark and the book. So much exciting stuff. Excited for Lent to come. I know it's only, I'm rushing it, but it's one of my favorite times of the year. So I'm a goober. Well, thanks for joining this goober today here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.